So from the first century, first AD to the AD 2000 is the end of the 20th century. Therefore, the 20th century only ends in a few days. Regardless of how the world counts those days, 2000 year 2000 ends, year 2000 year ends. And in a few days, we'll walk into the 21st century. As a Christian, we ought to have a sense of history. Because the Christian God is a God who differentiated himself from the other gods for the sense of history of self-revelation.
你们将哪一个神与我相比呢?
Who do you compare me with?
有谁如同我从起初指明末后的事呢?
Who can be like me that I can point from the beginning to the things towards the end?
这些原则 就使奥古斯丁产生了历史时间应当以单向的这个直线进行的原则来处理。
This revealed to Augustine that he should look at history in a linear line.
就因为这样奠定了西方的科技能发展，人性创造可以继续发挥的历史上很重要的这一个纵向。
And this started the possibility of science of continuous progress to the very end.
无论是古希腊的历史观，或者东方印度同中国的历史观，都是周而复始、螺旋式的，或者是继续不断在这个原来的地方团团转的那种观念。
Regardless of whether it's the Greek or the Indian or Oriental religions, they all have a sense of a continuous circle of life.
那种观念是从对自然春夏秋冬 周而复始的这种自然现象产生出来的历史归纳。
They saw this from the seasons. The seasons never end, always circulate. Therefore, they think history circulates.
而基督教的观念不是如此。
But the Christian concept is not like this.
我们相信历史有一个开始，有一个结束。
We believe that there is a beginning and an end to history.
这开始就是神的创造点。 结束就是神的成全点。
History begins with the creation of God and ends with the ending of God.
所以神自己在自然界中间，他是开始，他是结束，他是创造，他是成终的上帝。
So God is the beginning and God is the end, both in nature and in the spiritual realm.
我们的神宣布，他是阿尔法，他是欧米伽。
That is why God said He is Alpha, He is Omega.
整个阿尔法点跟欧米伽点展示出来的历史。 是绝对的，是对的，是没有再重复的。这就是神在创造界中间给我们的第二个容器，就是时间。
And that is that the history that is between these two endpoints is there. It is finite, and that is the historical content of our faith.
除了空间之外，就是时间，使我们活在存有在这两个范畴的。
We therefore live in two dimensions, in time and in space.
而基督教的信仰给我们看见。 在时间从终点的中间，有一个道成肉身、永恒跟暂时接触的这个焦点。
And in between these two points is the Word who became flesh, the point of contact between eternity and temporality.
这就是意义产生的可能。
And this gives us a meaning of life.
如果意义是从暂时与永恒交接才产生出来的。
Meaning can only come when temporality touches eternity.
那些是在时间中间摸索的人。 永远没办法达到真正生命的意义。
Those who grope around in temporality can never find the real meaning of their life.
所以基督徒就从永恒的启示中间找到我们历史意识真正的原因在哪里。
Christians find the true meaning of our life through this revelation of God.
感谢上帝。
Thanks be to God.
我们在历史中间不但享受了 历史所给我们的一切,
we not only enjoy what history has to offer to us,
我们更透过永恒的智慧分析了历史的动向，历史的不可能性。
But through eternal wisdom, we can also analyze where history is going, the limits of history.
上帝启示中间所给我们的这个盼望，我们找到了历史的可能性。
And through the hope that is given to us through the revelation of God, we find the possibility of history.
这样基督教的信仰就不是从人 犯罪以后的理性 产生出来的文化里面的一部分。
In this way, the Christian faith is not something that human beings created after the fall.
我们是在神的旨意里面找到自己的定位，找到自己的方向，找到自己价值的一群人。
We find our own positions, our own values in the revelation of God.
当十九世纪结束的时候
，When the 19th century concluded,
进化的秩序从变动的观念。主宰了整个西方的文化。
The evolutionary philosophy dominated Western culture.
马克思的思想对整个世界的文化产生了决定性的影响。
Marxism had a definitive influence on thought.
而他的博士论文就是以这个 Heraclitus 的思想作为他的中心的讨论的对象。
His doctoral thesis was centered upon the philosophy of Heraclitus.
Democritus.Democritus 的哲学是从 Heraclitus 哲学演化出来的。
Democritus' philosophy was an evolution of Heraclitus' philosophy.
就是变动性的时间观。
That is an ever-changing sense of time.
变动性的宇宙观。
An ever-changing sense of the universe.
在古希腊的哲学里面可以分成两派，一派是 philosophy of being， 另外一派是 philosophy of becoming。
There were two schools of thought in ancient Greece, the philosophy of being and the philosophy of becoming.
凡把一切的变化当作是永远的本质的这种运动就在十九世纪产生了很大的回应。
And to treat the ever-changingness as their absolute truth was a very foundational 19th century philosophy.
真正的这一个 motto 就是呢 the only thing unchanging is change itself.
So the motto of the 19th century was the only thing that is unchanging is change itself.
这就对整个基督教的信仰一个不变动的上帝从对不变动上帝产生的不变动的信仰产生一个最大的挑战。
And it became the biggest challenge to the Christian faith that believed in a never-changing God and a never-changing faith.
变动的思想不但主宰了生物界的进化论。
This ever-changing philosophy not only drove evolution theory,
也主宰了哲学历史的发展观。
It also dominated the view of history.
更给世界社会向前演化带来一个的非常幼稚的乐观的这个刺激。
And it gave a very childish optimism to humanism.
所以无论是 Herbert Spencer, 或者是 Thomas Henry Huxley, 就把这个进化哲学跟社会的理论把它配合起来了。
And whether it was Huxley or Spencer, they put together evolution and social theory.
当这些思想在影响到德国 Tübingen School 的神学的时候
，And when these thoughts influenced the German school of theology, Tübingen School,
所以这个新派的理论就从内心的深处把整个进化的思想放到宗教的过程里面来了。
Liberal theologians transplanted the evolutionary basis into theology.
他们甚至相信连世界的宗教都是在进化的过程里面。
They believe that the entire world religions are evolving.
这样的整个变化从这个变动的思想就主宰过整个西方的思想。
And the ever evolutionary changing thought dominated Western thought.
当把这个思想再带到政治界里面的时候
And then when these thoughts were put into the political realm,
就是德国人感到自己是整个进化的人类中间最高峰最优秀的民族。
The Germans believed themselves to be the best, the most evolved people of all mankind.
所以这样就引浪着正在要发动的世界的第一次的世界大战。
And that eventually led to the First World War.
只要我们看见这二十世纪的形成跟这种背后的哲学观念有非常决定性的关系在其中。
So we can see that the 19th century philosophy had a defining influence on the 20th century movement.
二十世纪这一百年的展现
These 100 years of the 20th century
到底从人类深处发生什么东西产生怎样的影响到今天有怎样的结果呢？
Where did it come from? How did it influence us? And what is the conclusion today?
基督徒绝对不能不注意这些事情。
We Christians cannot underestimate these things.
我们不是坐下吃喝起来玩耍的一群人。
We don't just eat and drink and be merry.
我们要给整个人类定位，给整个人类定向，我们有这样的作用在里面。
We must have an influence of defining the direction of humankind.
二十世纪开始的时候
When the 20th century began,
人从进化的观念产生幼稚的乐观。
Man had a very childish optimism about evolution.
所以对宗教里面提到的堕落论是绝对不能接受的。
So they definitely rejected the fall, depravity.
为什么要拒绝这个堕落论呢？
Why did they reject the depravity of man.
因为堕落论先假设或者相信人类原先在圣经中间，后来因为犯罪的缘故才摔下来。
Because the fall first presumed that we were at a higher level before we dropped down.
这个跟进化是完全另外一个极端的想法。
And this is an entirely opposite thought from that of evolution.
因为进化论先假设，先相信人是在从动物非常卑微、非常这幼稚的状况中间演进到今天，变成最高明的、最有智慧的活物。
Because evolution believed that we came from a lower level of life and we evolved into a higher form of life.
这样，凡是相信堕落论的人，
therefore, anybody that believed in the fall,
他们都不能接受进化。
They would not be able to accept evolution.
凡是相信进化的人，
At the same time, those who believe in evolution,
他们一定要拒绝堕落论，
must also reject the fall.
所以这严格来说，不是一种思想的斗争。 是神学上的差误。
So this is not a philosophical difference, it is a theological error.
当教会的领袖没有从教义的问题，从圣经的总原则来处理文化的问题的时候，
When church leaders do not take care of cultural problems from the starting point of the Bible,
我们会非常不义的、不自救的就把整个教会的信仰，因为妥协的缘故，把它完全交给仇敌，让他们任意摆弄我们。
Then we will unintentionally give up and compromise our stance to the enemy and let them manipulate us.
如果人是进化的，
if we evolve,
那么过去是很野蛮，过去是很原始，过去是很幼稚的。
Then in the past we were barbaric, we were naive.
这就像新派神学之父 Schleiermacher 所讲的话。
Then it will be just like the father of liberal theology, Schleiermacher.
我们是从幼稚的愚昧的状态中间演进到现在。
We evolved from a naive, primitive form into today's sophisticated form.
所以那个时候，喇嘛克的思想以及进化论的这个19世纪最重要的瓦拉跟道尔的思想，他们都还没印成书。
Even though the evolutionary thoughts at that time had not been imprinted yet,
到了19世纪的时候，这个当他们的书印出来的时候，基督教的神学家有许多就马上同意了这些自然。
When those books came into print, a lot of Christian theologians immediately identified with them and adopted them
naturally. By the time we got to the
19th century, the West had developed into very sophisticated
levels.
So they assumed that in the ensuing 100 years, human progress would be unlimited.
就在这个时候，只有一个叫做 Oswald Spengler 的德国人，他有完全不同的看法。
But only one German called Oswald Spengler held an entirely different view.
他就在20世纪初期的时候，写了一本书叫做《西方的没落》。
At the beginning of the 20th century, he wrote a book called The Decline of the Western Culture.
指出整个西方的文化已经到了一个相当没落、很可怕、面临崩溃的一个地步了。
He points out to the fact that the Western civilization had come to the brink of collapse.
但是当他讲这句话的时候，正是陈独秀这个周恩来这些人向往西方文化，盼望可以把西方的科技从民主带到中国来的那个大梦的开始。
But as he was saying those things, it was just the beginning of the time when Chen Duxiu and Zhou Enlai were beginning to look towards Western culture to transplant its ideas into China.
所以我们一方面看见有一些很幼稚的思想，以为西方的成就可以拯救中国。
So on one hand, we saw a very naive thought that Western thinking can save China.
另外一方面，我们看见西方有一些非常敏感，也是非常有智慧的那些先知型的人物，从内心的深处。
On the other hand, we saw some Westerners with a bright eye already seeing the collapse. If we evolved from a barbaric form to today's sophisticated
form,
then the future would be unlimited for progress. Then we will not need God. Then we will not need revelation. Then we will no longer need religion. We can be on our own.
这就是等于说呢，带了一个开明时代最高峰的一种自信的程度。
This was a kind of a self-confidence to a very peak.
我所讲的开明时代。 也就是从十七世纪一直到二十世纪这两百五十年中间那些自信过分的人文主义。
This was an enlightenment that started with the 16th century that culminated in the 19th century of a humanism of self-reliance.
在这段的时代中间，人类以为人类自己已经进到了最高峰，也就是最开明、最有学问、最有智慧的历史的一个顶端。
People of the time believed that they had developed themselves into the most enlightened form of being.
当然，研究文化的人你就知道，到了二十世纪中叶的时候。所以这种自信的开始产生了很大的重要。
But you can see that by the time we came to the middle of the 20th century, a lot of people became disillusioned with that kind of thinking.
但是20世纪初期的时候，这种觉悟的人太少太少。
Yet at the beginning of the 20th century, there weren't many people who were disillusioned.
经过了100年的时间，
After 100 years,
20世纪又在另外一行的这个幼稚的乐观中间向21世纪来迈进。
20th century once again walked into the 21st century with the same kind of naive optimism.
那我们要用怎样的思想，用怎样的看法来定20世纪的价值呢？
So how should we look at the 20th century and look at its value?
我们从中国来看。
Let's look at it from China.
中国20世纪开始的时候。
At the beginning of the 20th century in China.
从政治来说，政治怀疑帝国，怀疑这个皇家的特权，怀疑天子的这种优越性的一个政治形态的产生。
There was on a political realm a challenge, a doubt, a skepticism towards imperialism, towards the dynasty, towards the emperor.
虽然有一些盼望快快把帝国的制度把它消灭掉。
A lot of people wanted to get rid of the imperialistic system.
还有一些呢，就盼望是用维新的运动可以用保皇的制度继续下去。
Others wanted to keep the status quo.
把最后真正成功推翻帝王的不是非基督徒，而是成为基督徒的孙中山先生。
And yet the person who was finally was responsible for overturning the dynastic system was not a non-Christian, but someone who became a Christian, Sun Yat-sen.
基督教信仰对中国的影响是有目共睹，我们基督徒不可以自己忘记的一件事。
So we Christians should never forget the fact of Christianity's influence on modern China today.
孙中山先生的三民主义真正的根和种子是从基督教的信仰，从基督教的社会里面打败。
The three principles of the people propagated by Sun Yat-sen has seeds in Christianity.
从文化方面来看，
from a cultural standpoint,
胡适之的五四运动在二十世纪初期提出了科学民主、新文化、白话文等等。
The May the Fourth movement was about a new vernacularism.
这些东西都受过基督教的影响。
All of these had been influenced by Christianity.
内地会在十九世纪发起了福音运动。是在低层次的文化，在这个比较草根性的农民中间做传福音的工作。
The China Inland Mission started its work among the grassroots level, among the peasants.
那个黎提摩太所发起的运动是在文化界里面介绍西方伟大的名著，对中国学者产生刺激的新文化的运动。
Yet Timothy Richards brought the gospel to the cultural elite of the Chinese people.
所以中国人在这个受西方这是基督教的国家带来的是新书的影响，对于这个新文化的向往是没有办法脱离基督教的影响。
So all these new thoughts in the contemporary Chinese of the early 20th century cannot be separated from the influence of Christianity.
不但如此，接下去的这个基督教青年会在中国又兴起了一种新生活运动的这个向往。
And then the YMCA movement that created a new life for the young people in China.
到了二十年代的时候，产生了这个基督教学生运动，再给中国一个新的刺激。
And the student movement that came out of the 1920s gave China a new impetus.
而当中国人提到这个新文化运动、百花文运动以前二十多年，圣经已经决定用最好的白话文把它翻译出来。
Yet 20 years before all this started, the Bible was translated into the most vernacular language possible.
所以那时的基督教是站在文化的最前头来为真理做见证。
At that time, Christianity was at the forefront of culture.
直到中国人有一派的神学家把所有的思想列在魂的运动里面，不属灵的，这样基督教对文化的影响才慢慢退到后面来了。
Until some Chinese Christians leaders started to classify the Christian movement into that of the spirit and then separated it from culture.
所以我们看见三元论的神学对基督教在文化运动中间的影响力产生了副作用。
So we saw a negative impact of this kind of thinking on the Chinese Christian movement.
所以有许多注重灵性的人，他们就忽略了文化的使命。
So many people who put their emphasis on spirituality, forgot to focus it on the cultural.
相反的，反之注重文化使命的人，常常不注重灵命的影响。
On the contrary, those who put the focus on cultural work oftentimes neglected spirituality.
像在二十世纪的初期。中国的文化学者对基督教、对宗教就有两种极端的看法。
So in the early 20th century, a lot of the cultural elites in China had two different viewpoints towards.
没有学问的人都把宗教当作，把迷信当作宗教。
Those who were not knowledgeable treated Christianity as a superstition.
有学问的人就把宗教当作迷信。
Those who were intellectual treated the religion as superstition.
这样，宗教与迷信在中国变成两个极端，两个势不两立的一个形式。
So Christian religion became equated with superstition.
感谢上帝。
But thanks be to God.
经过了几十年的苦斗之后
，After several decades of struggles，
有一些的知识分子这个分开出来，信仰不一定是等于迷信。
A few intellectuals finally understood that faith is not superstition.
还有一些的宗教根本不是真正的信仰。
And also that there are some religions that are not true religions.
我们看见中国到了这个五十年代的时候
，When it came to the 1950s in China，
差不多的共产主义的思想已经争取到最大的力量。来了整个统治中国的知识分子。
Communism had completely dominated the thought realm of the Chinese intellectuals.
所以呢，这二十世纪我们可以这样说。
So in this 20th century, we can say this.
产生了许多许多的变化。
There has been a lot of changes.
而二十世纪初期的时候
，But at the beginning of this 20th century,
中国人正在挣脱旧礼教，挣脱帝国主义的影响。挣脱整个皇家这种腐烂的生活，从挣脱几百年的这种封建的制度这个奋斗。
The Chinese were trying to shake off the burdens of imperialism, of royalty, of corruption, of the old feudal system of life.
五四运动中间，我们迷信科学同民主是可以真正解决中国的一些问题。
In the May the 4th movement, we blindly believed that science and democracy would take care of all the problems we had in China.
很少中国的学者。在那个时候看到真正的民族的种子是在基督教的信仰的里面。
But very few Chinese intellectuals saw that a true seed of democracy is in the Christian faith.
所以对基督教的真正研究的人是少而又少的。
So there were very few people who truly studied and researched Christian faith.
不单是反基督教的运动变成主流。
Not only were the anti-Christian movements the dominant force.
而且中国近代历史的人都不是基督徒。
Those who wrote modern Chinese history were not Christians.
所以大批的大成分的这个中国的人就认为基督教是帝国主义的这一个工具，是侵略中国文化的这个大仇敌。
So a majority of Chinese believed that the Christian faith was a tool of imperialism used to invade China.
我相信神就用他反面的这个方针呢。是许可共产主义统治中国一段时间。
I believe God used this negative impact to allow communism to rule China for a time.
结果呢，我们看见现在打开门，使基督教研究成了重要的思想一部分的，竟然不是台湾，而是中国大陆。
Yet today we see that those who open the door to study Christian faith as a dominant faith, as an optional faith, is not Taiwan, but is China.
这是神超人智慧的安排。
This isis God's supernatural arrangement.
刚才吃饭的时候，钟志邦博士讲了一句话。
When we're having dinner, Dr. 钟志邦
他说，不久以后，人民大学专门训练共产党高干分子的大学，也要开一门基督教研究的这一些。
He told me that not a while longer, the People's University that trained the elite of the Communist Party.Will now establish a study of the Christian religion.
明年要请钟博士去教。
And next year they've invited Dr. Chung to teach there.
这种变化不是人的思想可以想出来。
This kind of change could never have been imagined by a human senses.
这是神的作为。
This is God's work.
所以我相信呢，中国在不久之后已经没有办法再用政治的力量来约束思想自由发展的这个趋势。
So I believe that the Communist Party will no longer be able to suppress intellectual pursuits.
从西方来看
from a Western standpoint,
西方19世纪结束20世纪开始的时候
when the 19th century ended and we went into the 20th century in the West,
传统的基督教的地区呢对基督的信仰产生莫大的怀疑
a lot of the traditional strong points, strongholds of Christianity start to doubt Christianity itself.
开明世纪的这两三百年以来
And since in these 200-300 years since the Enlightenment,
科学被越来越绝对化在学术界的地位
Science has become more and more absolutized in its position in the intellectual circle.
宗教被越来越相对化在学术界的地位里面
At the same time, religion has become more and more relativized in the intellectual status.
最不重要的自然科学已经爬到最不应当有的最高的地位
So they took the most primitive form of natural science and elevated it up to its undeserving pedestal.
最重要的正统神学被放在可有可无最不重要的地位。
Yet the most important orthodox theology has been placed on that of the optional.
在我个人的知识论的层次分类里面
In my own epistemological categorization,
神学是高于哲学的。
Theology is higher than philosophy.
哲学是高于科学。
Philosophy is higher than science.
特别是自然科学是放在最低的层次里面。
And natural science is in the lowest level.
因为这个不过是人按照神给我们的理性作为工具去研究神隐藏创造界中间的那些自然知识的各层次的学问，所以是最低的层次。
Natural science is just the things that we can discover through what God has given in our brain to observe and find out what God has put into this natural earth.
而神学的正统就是从神的启示所得到的智慧才懂得怎样去好好追求智慧。
Yet Orthodox theology comes from the revelation of God.
而这个智慧的学问包括了运用自然科学成就的各种能力的这个方向的问题。
And this theology includes the direction of using science.
我们应当承认决定伦理的价值等等。
How do we determine ethical values?
然后还把这些实用科学的成就放在对人类有益处的事情，以道德的价值来定我们的方向。
Only then can we set a direction on how to use science and technology in its right place.
我这个很简单的例子。
Let me give you an example.
能做原子弹，这个叫做科学。
Science enabled us to make the atomic bomb.
什么时候应当不应当用原子弹？这个叫伦理学。
Whether we should use the atomic bomb is ethics.
谁可以决定我们应当不应当？这是神的道的启示高过人的这个伦理学。
Who decides who should use the A-bomb? That has to be determined by God's revelation.
怎么知道这是神的启示？怎么证解这是神的启示？这是神学。
How do I know that this is the revelation of God?That is theology.
只懂得做原子弹的，不知道是随便乱丢，这个是人类最大的危机。
Only knowing how to make an A bomb, but not knowing how to use it, is the biggest crisis of mankind.
所以神学应当引导哲学。
So theology ought to be guiding philosophy.
哲学应当引导科学。
Philosophy ought to provide the guidelines for science.
是从现代主义或者是开明时代这两三百年以来。
In these 200-300 years of modernity,
我们看见整个世纪是捣乱的。
We see that the entire process has been reversed.
到了二十世纪的时候
，When we come to the 20th century,
应用科学主宰了一切。
Applied science dominates everything.
经济学再主宰了应用科学。
And economics dominates applied science.
所以今天我们到了一个金钱挂帅，一切的一切都附在钱财的下面，有钱的。讲的声音就特别大声的情形。
That's why today we all worship riches and material well-being.
甚至连教会也是一样的。
Including the church.
在教会听见的是钱的声音，是人的声音，很少听见神的声音，道的声音。
In the church we hear the voice of money, we hear the voice of people, but we seldom hear the voice of God.
二十世纪是个怎样的世纪呢？
What kind of century is the 20th century?
二十世纪刚开始的时候，
When the 20th century first started,
我们看见了人类以为自己有充满的自信，可以无穷的发现发展人类里面的潜在吗？
We see a naive optimism that because of our self-reliance, we can develop infinitely our potential.
但是从来没有找到人类这个潜在能的真正源头就是神。
Yet we never bother to find out the true source of this potential, which is God.
我们不过是神那真正本相的形象 同样式而已。
We are merely the image of the likeness, an image and likeness of God.
所以我们把自己神化了。
So we deify ourselves.
这样二十世纪是一个爆炸的世纪。
In this way, the 20th century was an explosive century.
在这个世纪中间爆炸了两次世界大战。
We had two world wars.
第一次的世界大战有差不多三千，有差不多750万的人死了。
In the first century, about 7.5 million people died.
第二次世界大战有3500万人死了。
In the Second World War, 35 million people died.
到了89年的时候，苏联宣布有另外3000万的人没有公布。
And in 1989, the Soviet Union announced that there were another 30 million deaths that had not been reported.
第二次世界大战死的应当是6500到7000万。
In that sense, then the total death toll would be about 60 to 70 million.
二十世纪是个爆炸的世纪。
So the 20th century concluded all different peoples wanted to become independent.
所以爆发了这个民族的运动。
And it started a nationalistic movement.
二十世纪不但是这些事情爆炸出来。
Not only did these things explode out of the 20th century.
人口从知识特别爆炸的一个时代。
We also saw an explosion in knowledge and population.
中国在1979年到80年中间举行了全国人民的普查运动。
From 1979 to 1980, China conducted a national census.
到今年这二十年的中间。
And up to today, in these 20 years,
差不多增加了2亿的人口。
Population has increased 200 million.
单单这二十年中间。
Just in these 20 years,
增加的人口差不多是美国人口的70%。
The growth rate is almost 70% of the entire U.S. population.
换一句话说，从上帝创造亚当到现在，美国的人口的总数在中国三十年就够生这么多出来。
In other words, from the creation of Adam up to today, I lost that one.
中国人三十年生的孩子、
right.
就可以比美国几千年所有的人口。
At this rate, the Chinese can get the American population in 30 years.
所以中国吓死全世界是一定的事情。
That's why China can shock the whole world.
好，不久以后的印度会吓死中国。
And pretty soon, India is going to shock China.
印度在这两年里面可能是达到了10亿人口的这个数目。
In 2 years, the growth rate of population in India has been 1 billion.
所以二十世纪真是一个爆炸的世纪。
That is why the 20th century is an explosive century.
二十世纪又是个怎么样的世纪呢？
And what other thing is characteristic?
二十世纪是个自我奴役的一个世纪。
The 20th century was a self-enslaving century.
为什么是二十世纪这个自我奴役的世纪？
Why do we say that it's a self-enslaving century?
如果我们是二十世纪之前人类历史中间最进步、科学发展最快的一个世纪的话，
If we say that the 20th century is a century in which we saw the most rapid technological improvement,
在这一百年里面的科学的发明超过了有史以来所有的发明的总数，我想这个一点也不过分。
If we say that all the scientific discoveries in this 100 years exceeded all the scientific discoveries since,
but 我个人认为二十世纪是一个很笨的世纪。
Then we can say that it's a century of achievement. Yet it is also a foolish century.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为这个世纪是大有知识，少有智慧的一个世纪。
Because this is a century full of knowledge but with no wisdom.
大有内容，少有方向的世纪。
It had a lot of content, but no direction.
大有建造，少有根基的一个世纪。
A lot of building, but no foundation.
大有现象，少有本质的一个世纪。
A lot of form, but no substance.
Phenomena without essence. 为什么用这个四个不同的名词来描写这个世纪？
Why do I use these four different words to describe the 20th century?
因为我们二十世纪所有的发明都是容具式的发明，而不是内容式的发明。
Because everything we discover, invent in the 20th century is content, but not
is the container, but no content.
All the container, no content.
我们的发明是容具式的发明，但是不是内容式的发明。我们可以做最大的钢琴，但我们找不到最伟大的作曲家。
We can make the best piano, but we cannot find the best composer.
我们可以做最好的录音机，但是我们要录的是19世纪的音乐。
We make the best tape to sound recording system to record 19th century music.
我们建了最大的礼堂，里面不知道在讨论什么事情。
We build the biggest cathedrals, but we don't know who's inhabiting.
我们建了最大的礼拜堂，里面信仰乱七八糟。
We have the biggest churches, but all kinds of faith inside.
我们建了最大的建筑物，里面没有多少有分量的血糖从知识产生在里面。
We build a lot of great buildings, but not a whole lot of good knowledge and understanding.
我们坐了最大的飞机带来带去，就是那些正在为钱生活的人。
We build the biggest planes to transport money-hungry people all over the world.
二十世纪真正的思想家在哪里？
Where are the true thinkers of the 20th century?
二十世纪真正的信仰的方向的导师在哪里？
Where is the direction of faith in 20th century?
二十世纪发明了原子弹。
We invented the A-bomb.
但是二十世纪没有产生的更好的教育的制度，同时人类真正道德进步的那些催化剂。
Yet we did not improve educational systems or something that would improve the morality of human beings.
所以二十世纪是个非常矛盾的事情。
That's why the 20th century was a very contradictory
century. 我们有容具，但是我们没有内容。
We have the containers, but we have no content.
所以今天教会也是如此。
Today's church is the same way.
我们有许多大型的礼拜堂，我们的教义的真理的基础没有比十五、十六世纪更有根基的建立在圣经的启示上。
We have huge churches, but the foundation of our faith is not strong at all.
今天我们从拆砖方面做了很大、很好看的外表。
Today we have a great facade with sending people out.
但是我们拆砖中间，我们所传的是拆砖所传的，不是重要的耶稣基督的基督论。
Yet a lot of times what we are preaching or sending people out to preach is not the Christology of Jesus Christ.
这是很可怜的事情。
This is a very pitiful century.
在二十世纪里面最重要的思想的运行，
the most important manifestation of thought in the 20th century.
根源都是从十九世纪来的。
They all have their roots back to the 19th century.
我们在二十世纪大行其道，教导进化论，这不是二十世纪的产品，而是十九世纪的产品。
In the 20th century, we massively apply evolution, but evolution didn't come from 20th century, it came from 19th century.
我们用共产主义奴役了三分之一人民几十年的时间，而共产主义的思想不是20世纪的思想，是19世纪的思想。
Communism enslaved people for decades, yet communism is not a 20th century product, it's a 19th century product.
我们许多的青年人迷醉存在主义，而存在主义的思想不是20世纪的思想，是19世纪的思想。
Many of our youth are into existentialism, but that thought didn't come from 20th century, it came from 19th century.
我们许多迷信科学的人用逻辑实证论作为我们整个理论的基础，而这不是20世纪的东西，是19世纪的东西。
Many scientists believe in logical positivism, but that didn't come from the 20th century, it came from 19th century.
许多的教会承受了对神、对基督、对圣经怀疑的新派神学，这些理论在二十世纪大行其道，却不是二十世纪的东西，是十九世纪的东西。
A lot of churches openly defy orthodox theology and follow skepticism and liberal theology. That came from 19th century too.
我们的心理学已经走了一个反对神的地步，承受了这个从起初在 Sigmund Freud 的思想里面，这个思想在19世纪末叶的时候开始萌芽。
Psychology had already rebelled against Christianity and adopted the thoughts of Sigmund Freud.Who is from the 19th century?
这样，我们的二十世纪正在推行的这些重要的思想形态，都是十九世纪的产品。
So all the massive things that we're pushing in the 20th century are all from the 19th century.
二十世纪的人是不是很智慧的呢？
So are people in the 20th century very wise?
我认为不是的。
I don't think so.
二十世纪是个很愚蠢的世纪。
The 20th century was a foolish century.
因为我们把这一百年的时间，最好的大段的时间，交给十九世纪已经死了的头脑，把我们甘愿放在他们奴役之下，让他们把我们当作他们理论实践的一段历史。
Because all we did was to surrender our brain to the thoughts of people in the 19th century and enslave ourselves to their theory, and we worked it out.
我们把他们的理论代替真理。
We replaced their theories. We replaced the truth with their theory.
我们教导我们的子孙在这三世代中间。接受那非真理的理论。
We taught our children these non-truths.
过了七八十年以后，我们发现进化论的根基是不够的，共产理论是错误的。我们发现过去的逻辑实证论是应当推翻的，所以后现代继而产生一个 反对现代的运动出来。
70-80 years later, we realize that all these things should be overturned, and as a result, now we are into a post-modernity.
我们大梦初醒的时候，
we wake up from our sleep.
我们发现二十世纪就结束了。
And we look and we find that 20th century is about to end.
这个世纪到底是一个智慧的世纪吗？
So can we say that this was a wise century?
不是的。
No,
这是愚蠢的事情。
It was a foolish thing.
现在再过几天，我们面对二十一世纪的时候
，In a few days as we face the 21st century,
我们用怎样的心情，用怎样的原则，用怎样的眼光来面对历史给我们的新的一个责任，新的一个机会
？What kind of principles with which we face the new responsibilities in the 21st century?
当共产主义在二十世纪推行出来的时候。
When communism was implemented in the 20th century,
何等绝对化自我
it was such an absolute thought.
认为这是全人类唯一的盼望
We thought that that was the only hope for mankind.
这是正反和历史观的最高峰
We thought that that was the peak of dialectical history.
整个人类真正盼望的是历史的这个春天就要来到
We thought that this was the final endpoint, the spring of history.
经过几十年又证明的是什么呢
But after a few decades, what has it proved?
我们证明反接受马克思理论的
It's proven that those who accept Marxism
最后都走投无路
In the end, they go into a dead-end street.
马克思是人类历史中间最经济的理论发挥到最复杂最庞大系统的经济专家
Marx was an economist who developed a very elaborate economic theory.
但是反接受马克思理论的一定经济破产。
Yet those who accept Marx's economic theory end up economically bankrupt.
这是人类自我很大的讽刺。
This is a very big mockery of humankind.
今天所有接受共产经济这些而破产的国家，都是呢一面懊悔，一面呢。不愿意放弃共产的思想。
All those countries that have gone into this dead end by accepting Marxist economic theory is now trying to get rid of it, yet at the same time, they're sad that they're getting rid of it.
从前卖羊头挂羊头卖狗肉，现在都在挂狗头卖羊肉。
So now they're trying to, in the past, they tried to sell something under another brand name. Today, they're reversing the effect.Selling something else under another brand name.
不过是要证明这个 Adam Smith 的思想是比马克思更高超一点点。
This only proves that the thoughts of Adam Smith was much better than the thoughts of Marx.
不得不承认这条路线。
We cannot but acknowledge this direction.
所以我个人认为共产主义的失败根本不是经济理论的失败，是神学性的失败。
I don't think the failure of communism was a failure of politics, but it was a failure of theology.
为什么说是神学性的失败？
Why do we say it's a failure in theology?
Because they fail to see, to understand, to interpret everything according to the revelation of God.
他们没有把一切的翻译根据神的启示来看。
你们要按照神的启示是解释一切的时候，你的神学性的错误是在一切的事情上都有错误。
So if you fail to interpret everything from a standpoint of God's theology, then all your interpretations will be in error.
今天的哲学主流思想变成全哲学的哲学。The mainstream of philosophy now is the philosophy of hermeneutics. 就全哲学的哲学。就你怎样解释一切的一切
So how do you explain everything?
这就是创世纪第二章就提出来
But in Genesis chapter 2 we already saw
我们基督徒没有在我们的圣经里面找到我们的真理是何等的重要的时候有许多的东西都被外邦人拿去用了
When we fail to find how important things are in our Bible then we will let it up and let other people take
为什么说全世界是从创世纪第二章开始的
Why do we say that hermeneutics came from Genesis chapter 2.
上帝把万物带到亚当面前，让亚当给他们起名。
In Genesis, God brought all the living creatures to Adam and let Adam name them.
这是在讲什么？你知道吗
？What is it talking about?
这是在讲人有神的形象，其中有很重要的责任，就是对万物有神所许可的解释。
In other words, man has God's image and has the ability to explain and determine phenomena.
所以亚当说猫，那就是猫了。
So Adam says, that's a cat, it became, it's a cat.
亚当说这个是狮子，那就是狮子。
Adam says, that's a lion,
你没有办法用别的方法解释，因为亚当说他是狮子，他就是狮子。
There's no other ways to explain it away. Adam gave it the name.
啊，这种本分，从这种功能是神赐给他的。
And this kind of function and this kind of position was given to Adam by God.
所以我们都知道猫是猫，但是猫不知道它是猫。
So we know that the cat is a cat, but the cat doesn't know to call himself a cat.
人是诠释者。
We know everything.
You are created to the interpreter.所以你把这个事情解释出来的时候，这是人的先知功能。
We were created to be able to interpret things.
归正神学很早就提出这一点。
And Orthodox theology has already pointed that out.
现在许多哲学家才在讨论全哲学的事情。
And only today, when philosophers are talking about hermeneutics.
如果他们没有回到上帝的话语里面，
But if they don't go back to the Word of God,
他们没有办法对一切的一切产生纯正的正统的解释。
Then there's no way for them to correctly interpret everything.
所以教会的责任是什么呢？
So what is the responsibility of the
church? 我们要把整个人类带回到神的道里面来。
We must bring the mankind back to the Word of God.
不是单单这就上天堂的道而已。
Not just the truth of you're saved and you're going to heaven.
不是单单我的灵命丰盛，可以把上帝恩典分享与人而已。
Not just to have an abundant life and wanting to share this life with others.
要给全人类知道神创造的意义，神在宇宙中间的旨意，神要基督徒为他做见证的原则是什么。
But to let people know why they were created, God's will in this universe, and why Christians are to testify.
为什么现代主义被后现代推翻的时候，竟然不是基督徒做的事情？
How come it wasn't the Christians that overthrew modernity?
为什么看出现代主义的缺陷、现代主义的错误的人，竟然不是基督徒？
How come it wasn't the Christians that saw the error of modernism?
那后现代主义对现代主义的批判，
And so postmodernism's critique of modernism
是清楚看见了启蒙时代，直到现在理性主义的人太过自信，没有限定理性功能。
These people clearly saw that from the time of the Enlightenment up to today, that there was an overconfidence in the rational faith.
我个人认为这个功用，从这个我们的责任，应当是基督徒应当发挥的责任。
This is something that we Christians should have done.
大概三十年以前，我还在很年轻的时候，我写了一篇的文章提到理性的限度问题。
About 30 years ago, when I was still young, I wrote an article called The Limits of Rationalism.
这个题目呢，很有后现代主义的味道在里面。
And there was a lot of the taste of postmodernism in that essay.
当后现代的主义的专家把现代主义的极限提出来的时候，
And when the postmodernists pointed out the flaws of modernism,
许多教会的领袖还不知道他们讨论的到底是。
A lot of church leaders still didn't know what was going on.
我们怎样能在这个世界为主发光呢？
How can we shine for the Lord?
我们怎样在文化界里面把人的头脑带回上帝的道里面？
How can we bring people's minds back into the Word of God?
有关这方面，保罗讲什么话呢？
What did the Apostle Paul say?
我们的征战乃是靠上帝有能力。
It is our by God's power that we fight.
把各样仇敌的营垒都把它打破了。
And we take captive all the enemies of God.
我们打破了各样的营垒。
We crash the various fortresses.
我们要把各样拦阻人认识上帝的思想都把它打倒。
And we will topple all the thoughts that hinder people from coming to God.
把人的心意都回归向上帝。
And we'll bring back their wills.
我相信福音派的使命在这一方面，福音派的教会在这方面完全没有看到这个使命。
And I'm afraid that the evangelical world has not seen this.
我们只注意到自己灵命的长进。
We concentrate on our own spiritual growth.
我们不但对知识界在基督教信仰中间的攻击，从对非基督徒的撤回的工作，也不但没有觉悟，我们甚至呢。连这个使命我们都没有意识。
Not only do we fail to see the damage that this is doing to our faith, but we fail to see our mission.
现在我们进到二十世纪快要结束，二十一世纪就要来临的时候，
As we come to the brink of the 21st century,
我们看见撒旦还用各样的办法奴役人类堕落的理性。
We see that Satan is still using all kinds of methods to enslave the fallen rationalism of man.
麻醉基督教基督徒的思想。
And all kinds of thoughts that anesthetize Christian thinking.
现在对基督教信仰的攻击中挑战的这些世界的学问是越来越多了。
And there are all kinds of more and more schools of thought that challenge the Christian faith.
我们还可以裹足不前，自我享受的象牙中间，象牙塔的中间自我麻醉吗？
Can we still hide in the ivory tower and self-indulge?
不是的。
No.
我们绝对不能如此。
We definitely cannot do that.
我们无论在科学界、在政治界、在经济界、在文化界、在自然科学、在各样的范围里面，都应当把神的道的力量发挥出来。
In cultural, in philosophy, in science, in theology, we must manifest the word of God.
你说基督教的真理广泛到这个地步吗？
You say the Christian faith applies to all these realms?
是的。
Yes.
不但广泛到这个地步。
Not only does it apply to this
web,
but it is broader than all any new potential
thought.
God's word has already revealed all the flaws of any kind of thought that are opposing to it. So,Studying the faith.
在21世纪的时候
In the 21st century,
需要有一批的人专门把神的道研究到一个地步，可以光照，可以批判，可以引导整个人类一切的文化。
There must be a group of people who can study God's word and apply God's word to every realm of human existence.
这个责任太大了。
This responsibility is great.
可能你一点没有想到来参加这个聚会要听这些的东西。
Maybe you never thought that coming here you'll be listening to this.
但是当你听到这些东西以后，你就没有办法逃避你的责任。
But once you've heard it, you cannot escape your responsibility.
所以没有来的人很可惜。
So those who didn't come,
来的不肯遵行的有灾祸。
And those of you who came, you heard it. You're in trouble now.
这几天你好好跪下祷告。
So pray,
上帝啊，
you say, God,
你使我生在这个时代。
You have caused me to exist in this time.
到底你要我做什么？
What do you want me to do?
我不是找一份工作，有好的薪水我就满足了。
I'm not satisfied by just a good job with good pay.
我在我的范围里面。
In my realm,
在我的岗位里面,
in my position,
我要把你的智慧发挥出去。
I want to manifest your wisdom,
把你的公义建立起来。
I want to build up your justice,
把你的真理光照出去。
I want to shine out your truth,
把福音的能力把它表达出来。
And to bring out the power of the gospel,
叫别人与我一同看到你真理的光。
So people can see along with me the truth,
一同看到你至高的智慧。
To see your utmost wisdom,
使人从黑暗中间归向光明。
So that they can leave their darkness and go into light.
撒旦的权柄归向上帝。
And out of Satan's domain into God's kingdom.
谁能救中国呢？
Who can save China?
神的道。
God's word.
谁成为神的道的出口呢？
Who is going to be the outlet for God's word?
基督徒。
Christians.
中国人已经看出来，共产主义不是盼望。
China has seen that.Communism is not the way.
基督徒也看出来，资本主义也不是中国的救用。
But Christians should also see that capitalism is not the way either.
五十年以前 ，Paul Tillich 讲一句话。
50 years ago, Paul Tillich said,
他说共产主义绝对不是资本主义的对手。
He said that communism is no opponent.
共产主义绝对不是资本主义的代替。
That communism is definitely not a substitute for capitalism.
共产主义不过是资本主义的竞争的对手而已。
Communism is merely a competitor of capitalism.
换汤不换药。
So you're just basically changing the bottle but not changing the content.
1989年6月8号晚上。
June the 8th, 1989.
也就是呢，六四运动四天以后。
And that was 4 days after June the 4th movement.
CNN 宣布一件事情。
CNN made this announcement.
有450家最大资本的中国公司都是操纵在共产领袖最高的领袖的那个子弟他们的孩子们手中。
They reported that 450 of the largest, most capitalized Chinese companies are controlled by the children of top communist leaders.
所以这些人到底是共产主义分子或者资本主义的分子？
So who are they? Are they communists or are they capitalists?
共产主义跟资本主义都是资本主义，不同的地方是共产主义是集中在共产领袖之下的资本主义。
Communism and capitalism are both capitalism. The only difference is in communism, all the capital is concentrated in the hands of a few people.
但共产主义不论是人的罪性从人个人主义的影响之后
，When communism fails to recognize the sinful nature of man,
他们假想公社，假想共产就可以解决了人类的问题。
They presume that.Communism, communal living will take care of human problems.
这种大梦初醒的人
when they finally wake up from that dream,
他们醒过来，竟然发现他们自己就是很重要的资本家。
And they wake up to find themselves the most prominent capitalist of the country.
所以人类没有办法用已经堕落的理性所想出来的理论来拯救人类的困境。
So man cannot use.There are theories that come out of their depraved mind to save mankind.
除非人回到神的面前来。
Until man returns to God.
为什么需要改革开放呢？
Why do we need to reform and open up?
为什么要改革呢？
Why do we need to reform?
改革什么呢？
Reform what?
改革从前正要改变人的那个东西。
Reform what we tried to change before.
为什么要开放呢？
Why do we have to open up?
也开放那些从前以为自己可以解放别人的东西。
To open up the us from the things that we thought we could liberate other people with.
其实唐朝的时候
in the Tang Dynasty,
中国人的社会的 per capita 是全世界最富有的。
The per capita income of the Chinese people was the richest in the world.
为什么呢？
Why?
因为唐朝是整个中国历史中间最开放的一个时代。
Because the Tang Dynasty was the most open dynasty in Chinese history.
丝绸之路
the Silk Route,
把西安、洛阳这些的城市跟西方的威尼斯等等等的城市连在一线。
The Silk Route linked up Luoyang with Venice.
所以呢，在那个时候呢，东西的交流开放，使中国人开明到一个地步，中国人就自动富有起来了。
So at that time, it was so open and trade that the Chinese became prosperous.
中国人是很聪明的。
Chinese are very smart people.
连德国的赫格尔、马克思的老师都承认。中国人是很聪明的。
Even Hegel, the German teacher of Karl Marx, acknowledged that Chinese are very smart.
不过很可惜的，他多讲一句话，从三千年前就这样聪明了。
And unfortunately, he said he added this, well, since 3,000 years ago.
他的意思，这三千年中国人没有进步的。
In other words, the Chinese have not made any progress for 3,000 years.
三千年就这样聪明了。
The Chinese have stayed the same level of smartness for 3,000 years.
我很想打他一拳。
I wanted to punch him out.
但是他已经死了，没有办法。
But he's died, so I can't punch him out.
这个是呢，这一个呢，马克思的老师赫格尔讲的话。
And this was spoken by Hegel, the teacher of Karl Marx.
我看他的书啊。
When I read his books,
看到他认识中国人的劣根性，比中国人自己认识自己的劣根性还更厉害。
I found that he understood the fundamental flaw of the Chinese people better than the Chinese people themselves.
说中国人总是夸耀自己四大发明，到今天还是四大发明。
He says that the Chinese have always boasted of the four great inventions, and today they still boast of the same four inventions.
中国人如果本来就这样聪明。
If we were really that smart,
你不要绑中国人，中国人一定会有钱的。
If you don't tie us up, then we will prosper.
但是唐朝以后
But after the Tang Dynasty,
一直下去到宋朝
all the way
元朝
to
到明朝
to the year, to the
越来越紧越来越紧越来越疏越来越绑
They started to control and control and control.
封闭的社会是一个自灭的社会。
A closed society is a self-destructive society.
开放的社会是一个发展的社会。
An open society is a developing society.
明朝的时候，中国非常封闭。
The Ming Dynasty was a very closed society.
最封闭的时代，竟然是二十世纪的毛泽东时代。
And yet the closest time in China was Mao Zedong.
所以毛泽东的智慧 quote unquote使中国变成世界最穷的国家的一个时代。
So under Chairman Mao's wise quote unquote guidance, China became one of the poorest nations of the world.
这样的罪过没有办法，不可以悔改，因为悔改就名称太基督教化，所以用改革代替悔改。
And they see it, they want to change it, they want to repent, but they don't want to say repent because repent sounds Christian, and so they use the word reform.
这样的捆绑需要解放，但这个已经解放过，用开放代替解放。
So this kind of tightness has to be liberated, but China's already been liberated 50 years ago, so they don't use liberation, they use open door.
所以这个所谓现代化，所谓开放，所谓改革， 就是承认过去对中国人人性的误解，这种神秀性的错误的改观呢，一下子就使中国的恢复致富之道，现在就很多很有钱的人出来了。
So they used the word reform, open door, to say that what they had done before was too tight, and now they have fundamentally misunderstood from a theological standpoint human nature, they're now turning around, they're opening it up.
严谨的这种很严谨的共产主义原教旨的思想，只能使大家平均穷，不能使大家平均富。
Strict communism can achieve equality only in terms of poverty. Everyone is equally poor, not equally rich.
所以改革开放的结果不是全国富，是部分人富，其他还是穷得不得了。
So the result of reform and open door is not the entire country being rich, but only a small group being rich. The rest of the country is still poor.
从归正神学的思想来看
，from a reformed theological standpoint，
上帝许可共产主义的政权在中国继续统治一段时间。
God allows the Chinese communists to rule China for a time，
因为中国人口太多。这个政权如果没有不够力量，很难统治。中国的太难统治了，所以需要一个很强的政府，就让它有一段的时间。
Because China is so populous and so hard to unify that it needs a very strong central power to keep it going.
因为代替这个政府的，在是谁还没有找到。
Because we haven't found a substitute to the central power yet.
虽然如此
，Even though this is so，
这个世界贸易
，World Trade
网络系统。
Global system，
这个网络系统、
Internet system，
使中国呢在以后的几年没有办法像过去那样控制人的自由思想。
Under these two systems， China will no longer be able to control thought the way it did。
对共产主义破灭的那个盼望呢，使中国人呢留下一个空虚，正等待一个新的东西可以填满。
In the place of communism， there is now a void in Chinese hearts for something to fill it。
很对不起的说，福音派没有办法做这个事情。
But unfortunately, I have to say that evangelicals have not been able to do this.
新派更没有办法做这个事。
And the liberal theologians are even worse in doing this.
李恩派完全没有办法做这个事。
The charismatics definitely cannot do anything about it.
聚会所早就自己退阵下来了。
And the small group, the small flock has already stepped down.
归正神学运动，归正福音运动。跟归正文化使命运动要站起来，在中国做一个大事业。
The reformed cultural mission, the reformed evangelistic mission must now stand up and fill this void.
使我们用福音，用神的道对文化的批判，从神的道对整个世界的启发，重新把中国带到一个新的阶段里面去。
So we can bring China back through the word of God.
我个人一点没有政治野心。
I do not have any political ambition whatsoever.
我对神的道在人文化中间启发、批判、光照作用的敏感度，要呼吁大家为中国基督徒预备我们应当走的路线。
But I appeal to you that you should use God's word to be more sensitive in using God's word towards culture, towards all the realms of human existence.
二十一世纪快要来临了。
21st century is about here.
二十一世纪要给科学不但定罪，而且可能产生一些咒诅的运动。
The 21st century may result in some movements that not only perhaps condemn science, but might actually curse science.
因为二十世纪的开始，科学带来我们许多的方便，许多生活的改进。
Because as we begin the 21st century, science apparently have brought us a lot of conveniences, a lot of improvements.
但是这背后的副作用我们没有看到。
But we still haven't seen the side effects that are to come.
二十世纪结束的时候，我们越看越清楚了。
And as the 20th century concludes, we see it ever more clearly.
在一百年以后
，100 years later，
可能这个世界已经被过去科学的成就破坏到一个地步。人类没有办法再住在这个地球上。
Maybe this world will have been so destroyed by the side effects of science that no one can live in this world anymore.
环境的破坏大到一个地步。
Ecological destruction has come to an extent.
使人类前途蒙上了最大的阴影。
That the human future is now clouded.
Stephen Hawking 在一两个月前已经提出了警告。
Stephen Hawking issued this warning a few months ago.
再过一百年以后，可能全人类都不能住在这个地球上。
He says that in about 100 years, perhaps nobody can live in this earth anymore.
今天的环保运动呢，用各样的办法来加罪给基督徒。
Today, the environmental movement tries to use all kinds of methods to blame it on the Christians.
好像他们要拯救人类一样的。
They behave as if they are going to be the savior of this world.
今天的许多的基督徒没有发现圣经的道理被那些错误的神学家解释的结果，使我们今天遭受的挨骂。
Many Christians fail to understand that our lack of understanding of the Bible and letting the liberal theologians explain this Bible has resulted in our present situation of being the scapegoat for everything.
圣经从来没有说人类啊，你要苦待这个地球，你要征服这个地球，没有这样讲。
The Bible never told us to mistreat this world and to abuse this earth.
上帝说你要耕种，你要开垦，你要使用这个世界。
God told man to use this world to open up this world, to cultivate this world.
上帝说你要使这个世界可以产生出各样的自然的果实而来。
God said, cultivate this earth so that it can bear forth all kinds of fruit.
上帝说你要生养众多。
You must be fruitful and multiply.
你要治理全地。
And manage the world.
这个治理全地不是统治像独裁那样的这个强权来破坏来损害这个地球。
Managing this earth is not like managing as a tyrant or dictator to abuse this world.
那像上帝对亚当说，你要修理看守这园子。
But to cultivate and to nurture this garden.
如果基督徒没有从正统神学找到神的话语应当怎样解释的话
，If Christians fail to correctly interpret the word of God,
我们就在把长子的名分随便出卖掉。
Then it'll be as if we casually gave up our birthright.
正像刚才我所说的，后现代主义对现代主义的批判，从一切的发现，应当是基督徒的责任，不应当是非基督徒的责任。
As I said before, all the critiques launched by the postmodernists against modernism should have been done by Christians, not by non-Christians.
照样，当环保主义对基督教产生诬告的时候，我们应当用正统神学来反驳，而不是任命他们随便咒诅我们。
In the same way, when the environmentalists blame and attack the Christian position, we should not just sit there and take it, we should argue back with the word of God.
我们应当引导他们，而不是让神的道，因为我们放弃长子的名分，而随便被出卖掉。
We should lead them and lead the way instead of giving up our birthright.
报是一世纪就要来了。
The 21st century is about to come.
基督教还可以对世界有影响吗？
Can the Christian faith still influence the world?
人类的科技方面的进步这么发达吗？
Man's technological advances have been so great.
21世纪的还需要福音吗？
Does the 21st century still need the gospel?
耶稣古老的福音在20世纪还能产生效用吗？
Ancient gospel of Jesus, is it still going to be effective in the 21st century?
如果人类还需要福音，
If man still needs the gospel,
为什么他需要福音？
Why does he still need the gospel?
如果基督教对新的世界，新的世界还有效用？
If Christians are still going to be influential in this new world,
我们凭什么对世界还有效用？
On what basis are we going to be influential?
为什么二十世纪结束的时候讲台变成这么弱？
Why is it that as we end the 20th century, the pulpit is so weak?
为什么许多的传道人讲到以前的他自己是害怕，不知道人要不要听？
Why are so many preachers scared that no one will want to listen to them?
第一世纪的时候，
In the first century,
使徒们是以绝对的精神来向相对世界的怀疑宣布信仰。
The apostles used the spirit of absolutism to challenge the world of skepticism.
当个时候，整个希腊的时候就到了怀疑论的时候，已经变成相对主义，自己弱不堪的。神的道传出来的时候，就把人的心都回归向上帝。
In those days, skepticism had led to a relativism where the culture was very weak in its direction. God's word provided that direction.
彼得说什么时候的真理？
Pilate said, "What is truth?"
耶稣基督说，我就是真理。
Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth."
世界还有什么盼望吗？
Is there any hope for this world?
天下人间除了耶稣，没有赐下别名叫人类可以得救。
There is no other name in heaven and on earth by which we can be saved.
我们要走哪一条路呢？
Which path are we going to take?
我就是道路、真理、生命。
I am the way.
如果跟着我，没有我。不能回到上帝那。
Unless it is through me, no one can come to the Father.
这世界还有光，还有盼望吗？
Does this world have light anymore?
耶稣说，我就是世界的光。
Jesus said, I am the light.
跟从我的人，就不走在黑暗里面。
Those who follow me will no longer walk in darkness.
这是生命的光。
But they will have the light of life.
你看，初世纪的时候，我们的主、师徒们，他们是这样暂且暂定。 非常有绝对的把握，把神的道传给世界，成了人类盼望、人类有前途的一个把握。
And in the first century, it was with this conviction and assurance that the apostles preached the word to humankind.
今天的教会怎么样呢？
What about the church today?
我们传道人很怕跟人家说没有学问。
We are afraid to be called ignorant.
所以我们什么学问都修，修到最后呢，有学问没有立场。
But then we go and learn all kinds of things to the point where we give up our own faith basis.
我们的神学院的教授，你问他的理论一共有七八个，他说：“那你站在哪一个？”我不说，你们自己决定。
Today's theological professors will say there are 100 different positions. You say which position do you take? He'll say, "No, I don't take any. You decide."
这是新时代，自由的时代。
This is a new age.
你要信什么，你自己信了。
You believe whatever you want.
我相信这样的神学教授没有办法把人带到一个在讲台上有足够的力量领人归主的地步。
This kind of theologians are unable to bring people back to God.
因为这种相对主义的精神是 non-biblical, non-Christian.
Because this relativistic attitude is non-biblical and un-Christian.
我哀叹很多的事情。
I am sad about many things.
有权威的人都讲错了。
Those who have authority say the wrong thing.
讲对的都没有权威。
Those who say the right things have no authority.
热心的人都没有头脑。
Those who are enthusiastic.
有头脑的人都不得了。
Those who have head have no enthusiasm.
专讲圣灵的离开真理。
Those who talk about the Holy Spirit leave the truth.
专解经的不用圣灵的。
Those who expose give expose.
爱传福音的人不读神学。
Those who like to evangelize don't study theology.
不懂神学的不爱传福音。
Those who study theology don't evangelize.
这个世界要变成怎么样的？
What is this world going to become?
基督徒的角色是什么？
What is the role of the Christian?
讲台的信心应当怎么样的？
What is the message of the Pope?
我们的信仰有什么力量？
What is the power of our faith?
求主怜悯我们。
May God have mercy on us.
我们千万不要带着一个只要听听的心思说的这个态度来参加这个研讨会。
Let us not come to this meeting with an attitude. I just want to hear something, learn something new.
我盼望每一个人在这个研讨会里面定下心志。主啊，给我有合乎智慧的知识，给我合乎你意志的行动。
I hope that you come with a conviction in our hearts, and Lord, give me a conviction of our hearts to learn the truth.
有合乎你真理的理性
，and to have a rationale that is according to your truth.
合乎你深爱的感情
，to have an emotion that is according to your faith.
合乎你救人的这个委身。
And to have a commitment to save people.
好像我深知我所信的是谁。
So that I can say, I know whom I have believed.
传出我所获的基督。
And I am preaching the Christ whom I live.
我活出我所传的基督。
And I live the Christ whom I preach.
好像我们信心合一，言行合一，我们的知行合一，这样我们才是有生命，有知识，有使命，有见证的基督。
Only then will we be unified in our thought and in our actions, and we can be a Christian of true faith.
美国已经很多生意人了。
America has a lot of businessmen.
多加你我几个没有多大意思。
They're not going to miss you.
美国有许多许多科技人才了。
America has a lot of scientists.
再多加你我几个没有多大意思。
They're not going to miss you.
但是美国需要有见证的生意人，
But,
有见证的科技人，有见证的树林人。有见证、有使命感的基督徒。
But America needs scientists, businessmen, and all kinds of professionals with a conviction and a testimony of the Christian faith.
100个钟头以后
，100 hours later，
你不能看到有二十世纪的存在。
You will no longer see the 20th century.
二十世纪在哪里呢
？Where is the 20th century? It's gone.
永远不在了。
It will never come back.
它曾经在历史上在过。
It was in history.
你怎么找也找不到它。
You will never find it again.
它是存在你的记忆里面。
It is now in your memory.
它是存在于这个博物馆的观念里面。
It would be in a museum.
存在那个历史的意识中间。
It would be in a historical sense.
二十一世纪要非常具体的面临在你我的身上。
We are going to confront the 21st century.
你能说神啊？
Can you say God?
我是你的见证人。
I am your witness.
21世纪的时候。
In this 21st century.
勇敢为你做见证。
I will boldly testify for you.
中国基督徒要记得。
Chinese Christians, remember.
1900年。
1900.
是庚子年。
What's the, 庚子 year?
是中国许多的传道牧师被杀死的一年。
That was the year a lot of pastors and missionaries were massacred.
中国教会是用血。来进入二十世纪。
The Chinese Church entered the 20th century with blood.
当上帝的仆人被杀的时候
，When God's servants were killed，
义和团的运动遍满中国的北方。
The Boxer movement had permeated the northeast.
许多圣徒的血流在中国的大地上。
A lot of Christian saints' blood flowed in the land. 义和团
运动快要发生的时候。
When the Boxer uprising was about to happen.
内地会发展一个千年愿意为主死甘心行道的运动。
The China Inland Mission started a signature of those who are willing to die for Christ.
在中国北方千名愿意为耶稣基督而死的基督徒有八千多个。
There were 8,000 such Chinese who signed their names.
其中有一部分真的死了。
And a group of them died. They were martyred.
历史的主宰在天上看下来。
The Lord of history looks down from heaven.
中国人啊
，Chinese，
你杀了我的仆人。
You have killed my servant.
好，我要告诉你。我是历史的主宰。
But I will tell you that I am the Lord of history.
所以接下去一两年里面。
So in the year or two after that,
谁生出来？
Who was born?
王明道生出来。
王明道was born.
宋尚杰生出来。
John Song was born.
倪柝声生出来。
Watchman Nee was born.
纪思文生出来。
Andrew Chi was born.
这几个中国最伟大的树林领袖，就是在庄子年传道人被杀以后的一两年，一个一个生出来。
All these great Chinese preachers were born a few years after the Boxer.
中国基督徒应当清楚地看见。
Chinese Christians ought to see.
历史不是掌管在撒旦手里。
History is not in the hands of Satan.
历史不掌管在就皇帝的手里。
History is not in the hands of emperor.
历史不掌管在毛泽东或者共产党的手里。
History is not held by Chairman Mao or the Communist Party.
历史掌管在上帝的手里。
History is in the hands of God.
Amen. 感谢上帝。上帝说：“你杀我的仆人，好，我就生出来更大的仆人。”
God said, "You kill my servants, fine. I will give China more servants."
杀死的那一年，我就生下。王明道、倪柝声加一名，哎，就对不起，王明道、倪柝声、宋尚杰、纪思文这些大的仆人出来。
One year after you kill my servants, I will give birth to John Song, 王明道、纪思文 and Watchman Nee.
你等到
wait
二十八年以后
，28 years later，
这四个人的脚就偏了中国二十多省。
These people traveled to 20 some provinces of China.
几百万人的传道。
There were and they preached.Millions of people. There were thousands of churches. Because God is not to be looked down on.
感谢上帝。
1949
年
，1949，
刚要转变政权的以前三个月
，when the politics was just about to change，
上帝把一个九岁的孩子从中国带出来。
God brought out a nine-year-old from China，
把他带到印尼去
，and brought him to Indonesia。
就是我
，and that was him。
就是1949年几个月
，that was a few months。Before 1949,
我回头看我的生命，我莫名其妙。
As I look back on my life,
我是生在中国。
I thought, I was born in China.
怎么会来被带到印尼去呢
？How come I got brought over to Indonesia?
上帝叫我的爸爸娶一个生在印尼的乔珍做太太。
Because God wanted my father to marry a Chinese, ethnic Chinese in Indonesia.
那就结婚不到一年就把他带回中国大陆去。
After one year of marriage, brought him back to China.
所有孩子生在中国。
So, all, and then all the kids were born in China.
我三岁的时候，上帝。